You're listening to Surrounded by History, a podcast of the Blue Earth County Historical Society, produced by Radio Mankato with your host, Historical Society Executive Director Jessica Potter. And now, Surrounded by History.
Hello and welcome to Surrounded by History. I'm your host, Jessica Potter with the Blue Earth County Historical Society. Joining me today is Radio Mankato's Jeff Lang. Each week, this program explores the history all around us, the history in plain sight. Jeff, what are some of your favorite community traditions that signal the beginning of the Christmas season for you?
Of the actual Christmas season, Kwanis Holiday Lights, obviously, are just a big one now. Everybody likes that, and we get to be in the parade as part of the radio station, and we drive Santa into the actual lights.
Nice. Yeah. So definitely Christmas traditions. Our community traditions that signal the Christmas holiday are very much a part of our lives, right?
Right.
So I thought it would be a great idea this time of the year. Let's dig into the history or the stories behind some of our community holiday traditions. So sit back as we take a trip down memory lane and are surrounded by history. For decades, Mankato's downtown holiday light displays along Front Street signaled the holiday shopping season had arrived. One of the first references I could find was in November 1927, but I'm sure holiday decorating was happening much earlier. In 1927, the Chamber of Commerce Retail Trade Committee placed decorated Christmas trees about 20 feet apart along Front Street. Now, you should know this. Front Street today is known as
Riverfront Drive.
There you go.
Yep.
So imagine that sight. Imagine the sight that must have been to see all of these Christmas trees along Front Street.
Every 20 feet, still a lot of trees.
That's a lot of trees. A lot of trees. And, of course, they're all going to be live Christmas trees.
Right.
That same year, in 1927, the committee hosted a Christmas home lighting contest. So they would decorate the outsides of their homes. I can't even put my brain around this. In 1927, they're doing this. They're decorating the outsides of their homes.
Right.
In 1929, 29 Mankato and North Mankato homes participated in the contest. And a Christmas parade was also a sign of the season during this time period in Mankato's history. I've seen many references and some photographs to the Christmas decorations that went over Front Street. As far as I can tell, those decorations made their debut on Friday, November 30th, 1941. At that time, Front Street between Main and Cherry Streets was lit up with a new Christmas display acquired by the Chamber of Commerce Retail Division, described as, quote, one of the most beautiful layouts obtainable, end quote. Garlands of evergreen and colored lights crossed the streets, each set off by lanterns and a star in the middle. The lighting of the decorations officially began the holiday shopping season. Stores that had previously decorated their fronts with colored lights refrained from doing so to not detract from the new street lighting. It was hoped that the lighting display would not only bring residents downtown to shop, but also bring people from the area to the city to do shopping. The lights were, quote, declared a great and immediate success, end quote, by the Monday newspaper.
Okay, now quick stop here for you. 1940s, I believe it's the movie A Christmas Story with the BB gun.
Yes.
And so that's all I'm picturing right now.
Right.
Is the windows of the stores line up with toys like in that movie. In the decorations like that, too. I'm already picturing that kind of feeling of decorations, right?
Exactly.
And the only thing I'm thinking about through all that is the lights that go across the street, we don't have them anymore. And
nope.
Go back to my hometown, Springfield. I know they still have them going across the street.
Right.
And then one main part downtown has them go across in like crisscross
with
a big like candle display in the middle.
Ooh.
It's pretty nice. It's like they don't do that anymore.
Wow.
In a lot of places. But
right.
You know,
Springfield still does.
Springfield still has them.
All right, everybody.
Yeah. That's probably the original ones, but I mean they still have them.
Hop in the car, let's go to Springfield and check this out. But let's go back to Mankato
yes.
first. So the 1950s and 60s were the peak of these street lighting displays. Mm-hmm. However, soon after, they gradually disappeared from the pre-Christmas scene. By then, the shopping areas in Mankato had grown. Madison East Shopping Center opened in 1968, and the city got too big to decorate the whole city. Chamber President Roger Nygaard said at this time, quote, "The coming of the malls changed the decorating situation," end quote. And outdoor displays in commercial areas had gradually disappeared. The downtown display had aged and would have been expensive to replace. Plus, the energy crisis of the mid-1970s led some to consider too many holiday lights as being unpatriotic.
Oh, okay.
In fact, a note in November 1973, the city council minutes proposed that, quote, "In the interest of conserving energy, the downtown Christmas decorations remain unlighted throughout the holiday season," end quote.
Man, that would have made it a sad year.
No kidding. So the interest of the city turned to other projects. We had an energy crisis. The decorations they had were getting old, too old and too expensive to replace. And that left community holiday displays in the hands of individuals and neighborhoods, such as homes along Mary Circle in North Mankato and North Broad Street in Mankato. In North Mankato in about 1980, Dan Menden and his family turned a resurrection of homemade lawn ornaments and strings of purchased lights into a seasonal phenomenon. The Menden family won the Mankato Free Press Home Light Decorating Contest that year in 1980, which sparked their neighbors to join in the following year. Between Thanksgiving and the end of the year, Mary Circle in Upper North Mankato became a one-way path through a winter wonderland that drew nearly 100 tour buses and made it among the top 10 tour group events in Minnesota.
Wow, I did not know that.
Through the efforts of community-minded neighbors, it also collected food and cash donations for the Echo Food Shelf to make the holidays brighter for those in need. Across the river in Mankato, Lee Schwein is credited with initiating the decorating of North Broad Street neighborhood in 1982. That year, he won the Mankato Free Press Holiday Lighting Contest, which sparked his neighbors to join in the fun. The light displays on the homes and boulevard along the 1400 to 1700 blocks of North Broad Street soon became a neighborhood passion. Power was run to the median to light the 90 boulevard trees that were with over 150,000 lights. A live nativity was added to the property owned by the School Sisters of Notre Dame near Turtledove Park. In 1986, the Chamber of Commerce created an 8-week celebration to bring visitors to shop, visit the light tours, and join in the winter festivities, calling it the Mankato North Mankato Celebration of Lights. Residents and neighborhoods around the two communities were encouraged to light up their homes and businesses. Locals and groups from around the area made trips through Mary Circle and North Broad Street, a part of their holiday traditions, always eager to see what new elements had been added. But what was a holiday tradition for thousands of people eventually became too much of a holiday drudgery for the neighborhoods. In 1999, after the Chamber of Commerce attempted to resurrect it, North Broad Street went dark. In 2004, the Mary Circle neighborhood also pulled the plug. Over the years, other neighborhoods rallied around a collective holiday light show, including Omega Court and North Mankato, which flipped the switch in 2019. So that's going to transition to one of your favorite community holiday traditions.
I would go back and say I remember going to Mary Circle with my parents when we were kids. We traveled into town. You were shopping. And the way out, we always made our way through there, though. I do remember that.
And for me, it was North Broad Street.
You remember North Broad,
mm-hmm.
Okay. Broad
with,
Street.
With the live nativity scene.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Yep. So, through the spirit of those past holiday season brighteners, the Kiwanis Holiday Lights was born in 2012. The annual event draws thousands from all over Minnesota, northern Iowa, to enjoy an ever-growing holiday light display. Kiwanis Holiday Lights was established by members of the Kiwanis Club of Mankato with the mission to, quote, create a celebration of holiday lights for the greater Mankato area that builds on past traditions and promotes the communities we serve while raising non-perishable food donations for those in need, end quote. The free event is held each year in Mankato's Sibley Park. Oh, by the way, there's a previous podcast about this, about the history of the park, in case you want to check that out.
Okay.
Cash and food donations are accepted each night the light show is open, from the night after Thanksgiving to New Year's Eve. A portion of all cash donations benefits local nonprofit organizations and food shelves, with the remaining invested into future light displays. Guests can enjoy the combination of driving through or choosing to park and walk through the magical winter wonderland. Scott Wojcik, Kiwanis Holiday Lights president, said in a Free Press article, quote, visitors really enjoy walking through the displays when temperatures allow and they can spend time taking in the sights at their own pace as well as visiting Santa, exploring the interactive displays, and enjoying the warming house and concessions, end quote. In 2012, that first year, 1 million energy-efficient LED lights glowed brightly throughout the event, with the electricity costing less than $50 a night.
That's incredible.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Over 30,000 vehicles drove through the display. Together with walking traffic, the number of visitors totaled over 100,000. Over 13 tons of food was collected for 12 area food shelves. 33 businesses and nonprofits entered floats in the parade, and several thousand families came to see the parade and lighting ceremony on the opening night. That was the first year. Over the past 10 years, the light display has grown to nearly 2 million lights, with new displays and amenities added regularly, like ice skating, Santa, his reindeer, a warming house, and concession stand. Since its inception in 2012, Kiwanis Holiday Lights has had a huge impact on this community. Fact, 109 tons of food has been collected for area food shelves. Over $400,000 has been donated to area nonprofits who have provided volunteers. Over 1.2 million people have visited. Over 22,000 children have visited Santa in his workshop. And over 150 businesses have been involved as volunteers and sponsors.
That's incredible.
It is incredible. And this, the really incredible thing about this is that this community event is 100% volunteer managed and operated. Since 2012, over 100,000 volunteer hours have been provided by over 14,000 individuals. All setup is completed by individuals in groups over 10 days during the 5 weekends prior to the opening. Each night of the event, from the day after Thanksgiving to New Year's Eve, is operated again by volunteers. And all teardown is completed in 2.5 days in January by volunteers.
You know, not only is that amazing and it's so volunteer ran, it's great, but they also honor their past events so well, like the Mary Circle and the Front Street,
Broad Street,
that's what it is, that's what I'm thinking of. And like, it's so cool to see how they've done that and how they do talk about that when you get a tour and stuff. They'll talk about how these lights came from here and these people, lights were donated by Mary Circle. And it's so cool to see the community really came together to help rally around this event and keep it going strong.
Yeah, I mean, it starts back in 1980, and it continues today just in a different format. And I agree. I think it's just a wonderful combination of everything coming together, being down at Sibley Park with Kiwanis Holiday Lights. So I think this is a great spot for us to take a little bit of a break.
Oh, yeah. You're looking at me like it's my choice. It's your choice, Claude.
Let's take a break.
All right. We'll be right back with more Surrounded by History.
Welcome back to Surrounded by History. Today we're talking about community holiday traditions. From light displays to hometown generosity, this community has never been short on the holiday spirit of giving. So this, the next little chunk we're going to talk about are some of the organizations that also contributed to our community holiday traditions. Did you know, Jeff, that the Salvation Army was founded in Mankato in 1888?
Is it not? That's a long time ago.
It is a really long time ago. There was a small gap when the group was not active around 1900, but over 100 years, the Salvation Army has been distributing holiday food baskets to those in need of a warm holiday meal. In addition, the Red Kettle campaign has been ringing bells to support our local community. Next one. How about this? Do you need a Christmas tree?
Everybody does.
Perhaps you pick out your Tannenbaum from the Wise Club of Mankato, their annual Christmas tree lot. The Wise Club has sponsored a Christmas tree lot in Mankato since 1958. And all proceeds from this fundraiser supports the Mankato YMCA's youth program.
You know, talking holiday traditions, what signifies a holiday tradition? When they do their corn feed, their corn roast in August, you know, it's the fall.
Right.
That's the signification or the sign that fall's coming. And when the tree lot goes up, and right now the current years, the last five, they've been on the corners of Madison and Victory. They've been doing it, but it's been in different locations throughout the years. But when you go see that go up, then you know it's now
exactly.
Christmas time. And so,
which makes it a tradition.
It does. Absolutely. It's really cool how they do such a great job of that, too. They have a lot of volunteers up there doing that. So.
Well, and that's the great thing about all of these that we're going to talk about. They're all volunteers, all nonprofits, all supporting our community in different ways. The next one to bring up is the Holiday Sharing Tree. It was founded in 1985 as a nonprofit seasonal gift-giving project. The Holiday Sharing Tree Project receives names of individuals who may go without gifts this holiday season, and the names are supplied by Blue Earth and Nicollet County Human Services. The Sharing Tree then shares giving cards around the region seeking sponsors like you and me to fill a request for a gift card valued at approximately $20. Sponsored gift cards are then distributed to families and individuals prior to Christmas. In 1985, the first year of the project, 182 families were provided gifts. The number has escalated rapidly since then, and currently approximately 900 families or 3,300 individuals are being helped.
Wow.
Since 1985, the Holiday Sharing Tree has provided over 71,000 gifts to individuals. For most, these are the only gifts they receive during the holiday season.
Now, they switched to the gift card in the last few years here because of COVID and everything.
Right.
But we always did something for them as it got like closer to the day. And they had a big thing at the National Guard Armory. And the amount of gifts that were lined up on the floor for kids, and they'd come back through, and they're all wrapped, and they come back through, and then put them in bags so the families can come get them. So cool.
It is.
It's sad that many families are in need, but it's so cool that we're doing so much to help them out.
Exactly.
It was always such a cool reminder to see that and knowing where that goes.
Exactly. And that was all local. But speaking of gifts, there are a couple other organizations that make sure that there are gifts under Christmas trees. One of them is Toys for Tots, which began in the fall of 1947 by the National U.S. Marine Corps Reserve. The Mankato Marine Corps League has hosted the local program since 2004. Its mission is to collect and distribute new and unwrapped toys to children under 14 years old in Blue Earth, Waseca, Nicollet, and Le Sueur counties. There are also other toy drives in the area, including Santa Anonymous. And then Bells on Belgrade, the first Saturday in December since 2014, is a free family event.
Already since 2014?
Yes. Can you believe
gosh.
It?
I feel like that just started.
I know. Like. No, since 2014 runs
that's
along.
That's a full-on tradition.
So it runs along Belgrade Avenue in Lower North Mankato. The afternoon and early evening event includes horse-drawn trolley rides, kids' games, crafts, and a visit from Santa. Hot cocoa and cookies are given out, and the Knights of Columbus has its Christmas tree lot open.
That's awesome.
A medallion hunt kicks off at the beginning of the week with new clues posted online daily. The medallion is hidden on city-owned property. The person who finds the medallion wins a holiday gift basket. The activities conclude with a Winter Wonderland parade at 6:30 p.m. Bells on Belgrade is organized by Business on Belgrade, an association of business owners and community members in Lower North Mankato. And then can I also throw in one of my favorites?
I wish you would.
That would be Christmas at the Hubbard House. that has been an annual tradition the weekends in December for many people in this area since 1995. You can learn more about the Hubbard House in a previous podcast.
That's right.
So besides Bell Run Belgrade, the months before Christmas were not the only fun times in our community. Over the years, there have been many mid-winter festivals in January and February. One that I love to talk about was the Mankato Winter Carnival of 1920 with the slogan, quote, just for fun, end quote, a week-long festival that truly was a community-wide event. So check out a previous podcast about that one to learn about all the fun. Although this event was in 1920 was the one and only Mankato Winter Carnival, there have been other mid-winter festivals in the past century, like Mankato Snowfest that ran from 1983 to 1990 with Frosty, the annual named Snowfest Fest Ambassador.
Okay.
Winterfest ran from 1996 to 2000. In 2002, we had the Sesquicentennial Winter Carnival.
Oh, I wish I could have been here for that. Okay.
And Snowcato Days was in January of 2020, right before.
I would say that would have probably made a comeback if it wasn't for COVID.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. Well, we had fun going down memory lane today, and we hope you enjoyed today's program of holidays past and present. All of the information we shared today comes from the archives of the Blue Earth County Historical Society. Thank you for joining us. Until next time, we hope you see the history that surrounds you.
You've been listening to Surrounded by History, a podcast from the Blue Earth County Historical Society, produced by Radio Mankato. For more information on this and other topics, visit BlueEarthCountyHistory.com or stop by the Blue Earth County History Center at 424 Warren Street in Mankato. Thanks for listening to Surrounded by History.